Do we? All right, thank you. We'll call to order this May 3rd meeting of the Legacy Funding Division. And we do have a quorum, so we will do the minutes of April 27th. Representative McNamara moves the minutes. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Today, we are going to do House File 957 by Representative Westrum. And then we will have a couple of informational items, explain a few things on events that have transpired regarding to our bill recently. And then we will adjourn this. Could take us less than half an hour if things go well, which is probably an invitation to disaster. Representative Westrum, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. The bill I'm presenting in front of you deals with ethanol appropriation. That I have an ethanol plant in my district that would be eligible, and a city that is interested in a pioneering project, if you will. But the language.
Go ahead. Mr. Westrum, I want to make plain that the motion here today is to lay over possible inclusion in the bill that's being assembled in the environment. So that's where we are, so everyone understands. You may continue.
Okay, Mr. Chair, and I think Ms. Taylor, Janelle Taylor, has an oral amendment that I think we might want to move at some point early on or some point. So, Mr. Chair, why don't I explain what the language change does? The bill that was passed a couple of years ago, I believe it was in 2009, allowed or set aside some clean water legacy funds for ethanol plants and to promote. There was three plants in the state that had expressed interest and would have qualified for a project that would take sanitary sewer treated water and reuse it as for ethanol plants and their production of ethanol. The city of Morris in my district is interested in a similar type project, but the feasibility of piping their wastewater or sanitary sewer treated water back from where it is makes it simply too costly and unfeasible. But they do have a situation where they've got stormwater runoff from the west side of the town that flows all the way over to the east side, and just within a couple of blocks of the ethanol plant as it's collected. And so what they've talked with the PCA about and are interested in doing is going forward with a stormwater collection plan and storing it on the site of the ethanol plant and using that to mitigate the use of well water as well as use it for processing ethanol. I think Chair Wagenius, or Representative Wagenius, when she was chair of the Environment Committee, was involved in some of these funding allocations. And so the bill in front of you would say sanitary sewers or stormwater projects would be eligible for these grants. And my oral amendment, Mr. Chair, would be to lift the $500,000 cap, and there's $1 million that's been set aside for this that has not been accessed for one reason or another.
Okay, thank you, Representative Westrum. So, members, the amendment would be line 1.22 after stormwater period, delete the maximum, and then line 1.23, amount for a grant under this subdivision is $500,000. That would be deleted. Those in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Anything else, Representative Westrom?
Mr. Chair, no. That's it in a nutshell. And I have an ethanol plant that was rebought out of financial hardship a year ago, and there's local owners that are have the plant operating, running again. It was closed down in Morris for some period of time, and so this will help them with their costs, help them be a pioneer in trying new ways to process ethanol and collect water, rainwater, rather than pumping it out of the ground. And so I think it's an exciting, innovative project that the city of Morris is standing ready, willing to partner with one of their job creators in their community that's owned by local residents.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am a supporter of reuse of both wastewater and stormwater, and so I'm glad to see this particular provision. But what I don't know is how much money is left over from 2 years ago and how much competition is there for the money, or is there any competition for the money? And of course, Representative Torkelson knows I was disappointed that he didn't add to this particular pot with his recommendations, which we always have the opportunity to do so. So I would like to hear from PCA, if that would be all right with you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, Kurt from PCA is here, and I'll let him reassure it, but Representative Wagenius, as I understand, nobody has applied for this particular funds pertaining to an ethanol plant, and there's $1 million that's in the fund.
Mr. Cadell.
Mr. Chair and committee members, again, my name is Kirk Cadell from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and there was on the actual appropriation $1 million set aside for ethanol projects and wastewater facilities. We did put out a request for grants, and it did not get any back in. We did then put out a survey to ethanol producers to discover why there may have been the issue, and some of them had stated they already had a good source through the groundwater supply. They thought it would have been better to offer it while facilities were on the drawing board. Once they're already established, it was more difficult for them. And those were the main reasons. And then there was the request, and it should be allowed to allow for stormwater also, which is what we would be doing in this legislation to allow for other companies. I do not know how many companies would take advantage of this when the grant request goes out again at this point.
Representative Wagenius?
Yes. Does PCA support the amendment?
Mr. Chair and committee members, we do support the bill.
Representative Wagenius?
Thank you. You know, I would agree with the notion, Mr. Chair, that this many money would be best spent when folks are designing or redesigning a plant to put it in, and that they were thinking about their use of water at the front end rather than later, because if they've already got a source of water, why would they rethink it? But it does seem to me that we need some way to let the engineering community, the design community, know that Minnesota is going to have to do some reuse of water, and that it's a public benefit to reuse water. And when that happens, that there are some grant possibilities that are available. I think $1 million seems very steep to me, but if that is a would be a maximum, as I understand it.
Mr. Gudelka?
Mr. Chair and committee members, that's all that's available at this point, is the $1 million. The other money was used for other projects that were non-ethanol projects.
That were?
Non-ethanol plant projects.
Okay.
Thank you. Representative McNamara, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Westrom, I was just curious, do you know the ethanol plant in Morris, what do they currently pay for water? Are they, I got to be honest, I can't remember where the plant is in Morris. Are they in the city or where in the, outside the city are they?
Representative McNamara, they're on the southwest side of the city, just on the edge of town. You're familiar with Highway 28 that goes through Morris. They'd be maybe a half mile to the left on Highway 28, or to the southwest when you're going out 28 to the west of Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Westrom, McNamara, are you are they currently taken out of the river, or what is their water source currently?
Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, they primarily take from well water right now. Mr. Kadelka might know, and then they discharge into a small lake or large slough, if you will, that flows out from there. One of the other benefits, and they've done testing on this in the city is interesting in engaging in this because they need to redo some of their stormwater as well, and so they have said, well, now would be a good time to replan this entirely. But the rainwater, the water they're drawing up from wells right now is quite hard out in that neighborhood, and so the rainwater, they believe this project has promise in that regard as well, that it will be easier on equipment and less, they won't have to soften it or process it for processing as much either. So ultimately, I don't recall the numbers, but it's certainly $2-3 million that at least they're looking at spending to get this done. And so, but they think with this incentive, it would be, they'd like to step out on the limb and try it, and they think it's got promise for their plant and might for others in the future.
Well, Mr. Chair, and
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Westrom. I think this is a really good idea, and I think adding the stormwater is a good thing too. And I think potentially, as Mr. Kurdelka said, some of the other plants said, in the future, granted, it would be better to do it on the front end, but I think the fact that you've got a willing person there willing to give it a try and see what we can do, this is the kind of positive things that I think would be real good things. So I'm hoping we can move it forward, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair,
thank you.
Representative McNamara, not to delay this, but one of the other positives is a lot of the water from the west side won't be flowing over to the east side and then flowing out into the settling ponds before it goes into the river. So it's going to be a collection basin, and they'll have a big pond, deep hole that will hold the water as they process it. Certainly, it'll some of it or a lot of it will go off to evaporation, but it's going to lessen the quantity on the whole city system as well.
Representative Parkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask a question of PCA if Mr. Kadelka could come back down for a moment. Mr. Kadelka, the grant that was originally done in last year's bill was, I see, $1.5 million. So apparently, there was $500,000 for other stormwater or wastewater, I should say, projects. Was that money used?
Mr. Kadelka?
Mr. Chair and committee members, there have been two grants that have been given out. One to the City of Elk River, which used it for an electric generation station, and then the City of Painesville used it for crop irrigation. That used the other total dollars that were allocated for the fund, except for the $1 million that was set aside for the ethanol. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Delton. Anyone else? Any other questions from anyone? Audience members? All right, thank you, Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair and committee members.
This will be laid over for possible inclusion in our bill. Actually, it'll be amended tomorrow in the environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a another little informational item. This was just given me today, and all I'm going to do is mention it as a item that has been suggested to us, and might be difficult to try to do anything with it this year. But Commissioner Shelato of the Department of Veterans Administration is requesting $100,000 for the Honor Guard program. And so I just said that I would bring that forward, mention it, which I have done. And now, what I would like to talk a little bit about today, and one of the main reasons for being here, is the House File XXXX, which is a bill that, in fairly unusual circumstances, I have fashioned as a essentially a a fallback position, basically, if we need to do it in this manner. Frankly, redoing the arts, history, culture portion of the bill, as I've done, is something that I had thought about doing this way earlier in the session. Basically, decided we would continue with the way it had been done before, and then through more discussions with other people, decision was made to offer this as another alternative. Now, that's not to say that in the end, after conference committee, we may not be back pretty much the way we are right now, or we could be with this or something in between. But what this bill does is it has the language for the Capitol reconstruction renovation in it. It also has the language for reporting that we'd passed in it, but also it has some significant changes in how we appropriated the money in Article 4 dealing with arts, history, and culture. What I've tried to do in this, and frankly, this will essentially be moved tomorrow, just the money part of it will be moved tomorrow in environment as a delete all for the Article 4 provision on arts, history, culture funding. And all I'm doing today is explaining this for informational purposes to you. What we are doing is essentially eliminating over 90% of what you could term as earmarks from the bill and putting them into competitive grant programs. And I'll just go through the spreadsheet that you have. It's probably the best way to do it. I mean, this follows the bill, or the bill follows this. And this is probably the easiest way to do it. All the money is the same. The money follows, the money that was appropriated in our bill follows the program or the project into the grant program. So, under Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the Minnesota State Arts Board.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I have a quick question that I think relates
what
I think is appropriate now at the beginning. You're saying that the money remains the same, but the totals are different.
Well, yes.
And you'll get there. That's fine. I just
Representative Green, the money, the totals won't be the same because the money follows. For example, the 300 and what is it, 360 for the film board would follow the film board into the arts board, so the arts board numbers would change. They would be 360 more.
Begging your pardon, I'm looking at a spreadsheet that's like the total arts and heritage spending was 51,610 in the first year.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at an older, you know, an older analysis of the House file, the arts. You know, back April 25th.
You talking about the whole thing? The Arts Board never. No, the Arts Board never. That you're talking about the whole category of funding.
Yeah.
That doesn't change what the Arts Board gets within the first year of the Arts History Culture funding is rounding off $51 million. Of that, the Arts Board is getting about $21-22 million.
I'm sorry, my question isn't nearly as specific as the Arts Board or anything. I'm just looking at the totals. That the old version, the total was $51.6 million, and the new version is $51.1 million.
Representative Green, Mr. Soderberg, can you help me out with this?
Mr. Chairman and members, there's two things that are driving the difference. One is in the original bill there was a direct appropriation for the Purbridge Center for the Arts, and in this bill there's just a placeholder for that particular one. And the second difference is in the original bill there were four children's museums included in the total, and in this bill there's one additional children's museum, which is the Children's Museum in Rochester that's being proposed for Rochester, and that's at 250, the same as the other one. So if you factor the one out and the other in, you should get to the number.
It is. Thank you. Thank you. I beg your pardon.
That's why we keep Mr. Soderberg around here. Thank you. All right. So, Minnesota Arts Board gets the Film Board. The Department of Education stays the same. The Historical Society stays the same. Under the Department of Administration, two of the items are the same, the Veterans Camp and the State Capital Preservation Commission. We have created under the Department of Administration a public broadcasting arts, education, and cultural preservation competitive grant program. And I am assuming that the three major recipients of this funding will apply under this program, in other words, AMPRS, MPR, and TPT. The money that they were to receive in, again, the other bill would follow them to this one. The DNR receives the Minnesota Zoos, all of them. And, Mr. Soderberg, would you explain again the tie-in statutorily between the DNR and the zoos?
Mr. Chairman, the DNR acts as a fiscal agent for the legacy money, or not the legacy, but the lottery money that the zoos receive, and so there is a little bit of tie-in in the history, and I think that if you look at the agencies we're dealing with, they probably are about most appropriate to work with the zoos.
Okay, thank you. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm not getting what's going on, so I have to ask a question. I'm a good supporter of competitive grants, but when you have competitive grants, you usually have specific criteria that are used to apply for those grants. Are you, in this new bill that you're going to have, putting out specific criteria?
Thank you, Representative Wagenius. We will be specifying criteria. This is it isn't in this bill yet. We will be specifying criteria. Representative Wagenius.
Okay, so for my constituents that are emailing me right now, and there are just recently a bunch of emails coming in, and they are saying, please support MPR. I have to write back to them and say, There are now is a competitive grant program that NPR can apply for, and that I will be able to list the criteria that you're telling the Department of Administration to use in order to make the grant. But then I, what's kind of boggling my mind is how many public broadcasting systems are there in Minnesota to apply for this grant?
Representative Wagenius, I only know of three. If there are more entities, someone could let me know.
Okay, so there, the only three you know of are public television, public radio, and AMPRS.
That's what I know of. Perhaps if we have anyone from Mr. Straczynski, Mr. Tilley, do you know any others?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barry Tilley, and I represent the Association of Minnesota Public Educational Stations. There are other public broadcasting entities that are licensed in Minnesota. Many of those are small, low-power radio stations that I know of. One of the provisions of getting legacy dollars as part of the statutory requirement, you have to qualify for grants under 129D19, which is the statutes that govern public radio grants in Minnesota, and that lays out the criteria it takes to be an eligible station to receive these grants. You've got to have at least two full-time employees. I can't remember all of them, Mr. Chair.
How many qualify under this?
There are 11 AMPR stations that qualify, and Minnesota Public Radio qualifies under their category.
And TPT?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Bill Straczynski, and I represent the Friends of Minnesota Public Television. There are six public television stations which qualify under 129D.
So essentially we're saying there are three entities.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Continuing, Humanities Center gets the voting, kids voting, those groups, the Councils of Color, the Children's Museum, and the Indian Language Projects. The Perpich Center, I was thinking of putting this under the Department of Education. I think we will leave it as it is. My intent is that there be funding for this. I just hate to say this, but I beg your indulgence for a bit until there will be a number there. It won't be zero. Department of Agriculture gets the County Arts Education and Cultural Preservation Competitive Grant Program. And essentially, that covers the changes. That's what we're doing, what I intend tomorrow to amend onto the environment bill and as part of our existing bill. And this is what I intend to present to the House floor and get passed and go to conference committee with. Other comments, questions, applause? No, there, thank you. Again, my intent, if I can mollify any concerns from the audience, my intent in this is not to change essentially what has been done. It's just a different way of doing it. Anything else? Representative Wagenius.
Then I don't understand. Mr. Chair, if your intent was to give competitive grants with criteria, I get that.
Well, Representative Wagenius, it can change. I mean, maybe intent is the wrong word. I think the essence of what we're doing will be pretty close in the end, but there will be a competitive grant program. Representative Guineas.
So, essentially, we are giving our responsibility to allocate this money to the Dayton administration, basically, right?
To the Dayton administration? I hadn't quite thought of it in those terms. But Representative Guineas, you know, some of our allocation responsibility is changing. There's a balance here. There are those who are very opposed to earmarks, but if you take away the earmarks, as we have done, then there is a shift in responsibility as to how it is allocated. I mean, this is, you can't have it both ways in this deal. And that's what people will have to understand. If you're really opposed to earmarks, then this is the way it's going to be. Representative Murphy, did you have your hand up?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just am willing to work with you. I told you that when you asked me to sign on to the bill that will be introduced. And I signed on to the first bill, and I voted yes. And this is an evolving thing, as it has been from the beginning. I think we're going to have to, at some point, make more clarification of what exactly we mean. And I did want to put on the record that when you spoke with me and showed me the new spreadsheet and the changes to the state departments, or the new departments that are going to be the fiscal agents for the fundings, for the programs that we have found worthy of meeting the standards of the Legacy Committee, I asked you to, in your letter that you were going to send along to the departments, to the administration, department administration, to the department DNR, to the arts board, so forth, that you include a copy of the legislative guidelines and the goals and principles that were adopted in the previous legacy committee. Or
Representative Murphy, we will send
heritage, and I think that will help them develop the criteria. If they're going to develop the criteria, or if the conference committee is going to develop the criteria, I don't know. I am very interested, as Representative Guineas is, and she made an excellent point. I am interested that we have a say in what that criteria is for those competitive grants in each of the departments that have competitive grants. And as I said, I signed on as a sign of being willing to work with you, and I will continue to do that. But I do remember that there is a way that we can take our names off of things, too, and I hope I won't have to use that.
Well, thank you, Representative Murphy. And, you know, we have, we will be working together to develop criteria. And using the guideline that was worked on by you last year, and that will be part of how we do it. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to point out again for the record, like I always want to, with the Purpose Center for the Arts, as you kind of cast your eyes in my direction when that topic comes up.
I didn't mean to.
That the funds are spent in Greater Minnesota. They're not spent in the metro area. And, Mr. Chair, I think from my position, I'd like to make sure that we satisfy the voters' intent and actually make the investments in arts and cultural heritage that they voted for, and that a bill is passed, and that the best possible programming is supported by that. I have some objections to your original bill, and I'm curious about this version because we don't eliminate all the earmarks.
Almost.
We eliminate many earmarks, but we don't eliminate the veterans camp earmark, which is the least defendable line item in this entire bill. And its connection to arts and cultural heritage is by far the most tenuous of anything that we have considered, even more so than the Runestone Museum that didn't have the runestone in it. And so I'm curious, you know, as you move forward with an amendment, and we don't have the language for it, so we can't evaluate it. We have numbers. And I don't know how, I mean, we have these earmarks listed on page 3 that aren't going to be included. And you've mentioned some of them, like the Film Board, NPR, TPT, AMPRS, the zoos are all earmarks that won't be listed. I just wonder what the language is going to look like that will actually implement your intention and why this division won't have any opportunity to review it before it's adopted as it'll delete everything.
Sorry about that, Representative Winkler. I did think that you had the amendment.
Oh.
Or the bill. You don't have the bill. Well, it looks real pretty.
It got all revisored up and everything?
Well, get my notes on it. Will you give me that, please? The deal.
No, we're not voting at all. But Mr. Chairman, I'll take a look. But it's.
I know. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, but we're not going to be looking at. We're not going to be voting on this then.
No. You're not voting today.
But we will have an opportunity to vote on this when it gets to the floor.
Some of you will have an opportunity to vote on it tomorrow in the Environment Committee. Others of you will have an opportunity to vote on it on the floor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. We are operating in faith, but now it's not blind faith anymore.
Share. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought that we had that out. It was my mistake.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, just help us out here, Mr. Chair. I mean, basically, if we are going to have a competitive grants program, it absolutely has to have criteria. So tell us what your criteria are.
I think the criteria will vary some for each of the categories. And, you know, again, Representative Murphy brought up the pamphlet that we did last year, and frankly, the criteria needs to be done, and it will be done, but it isn't done right now.
Oh. Thank you.
Anything else? By the way, Representative Winkler, you can keep that. There's a couple. We had it rejacketed. That's the. There's only two words that are missing in that one, but anyway.
Cultural heritage.
Nah, it is what it is. Anyway. Anyway, I do, you know, thank you for your questions and your suggestions today. I appreciate that. I appreciate your understanding in the evolution that this is needed to take, and I will continue to take your questions as we try to reach to a conclusion that we can do to pass a good bill that does what the people of Minnesota expect us to do with it. So with that, Representative, both sides, Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the Chair. Will this, I don't know if it's a bill or amendment, but will it be posted on the on any of our websites anytime soon?
Very serendipitous. Because as I was calling on you, I was getting over here. Amendments will be posted on the environment website this afternoon.
Thank you.
So probably by now they're posted. They're not posted by now, but they will be very shortly. Anything else? All right. Seeing no other comments anywhere. Again, thank you. And we're adjourned.